Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers are back in the win column. Tony Gonsolin continues his case to be the All-Star Game starter. Craig Kimbrough had a little bit of a rocky ninth, but it's not as bad as you may think. And the Dodger offense did enough. So we're going to talk about all that and more. Make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day and remind you that we are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Make it easy on yourself and better for us if you subscribe in all those places so you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio and I'm with my co-host Jeff Snyder. We're both lifelong Dodger fans that have been able to spend some time in the press box and in the locker room, seeing things behind the scenes of the Dodgers, but we're still here watching the games every day to bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. That's what we're here to do, and let's get started, Jeff. We saw the Dodgers win, finally, even though it was only a three-game losing streak, but not a fun three-game losing streak. The Dodgers back in the win column. Tony Gonsolin, who we're going to talk about first, continued to look like the Tony Gonsolin he's looked like all year. And then the Dodger offense did just enough with Craig Kimbrough doing just enough as well in the ninth inning. We'll get into all that. But Tony Gonsolin, six and a third, no runs, looked good, six strikeouts, had some really good pitches. Probably could have went deeper, but the Dodgers are looking at big picture, which we'll talk about probably as well in this segment. But yeah, Jeff, I mean, signs continue to point towards Tony Gonsolin being a very good, if not the best candidate to start the All-Star game.
Yeah, he's sending that resume to Brian Snitker saying, look, dude, I don't know what else you want me to do, because it's really hard to lower your ERA when you are pitching as well as Gonsolin is, and he did it. First time in a while that he lowered it significantly. Basically, you got to allow zero runs to lower your ERA at this point, and he's down to 142 right now, and we're talking, he's had, 13 starts, maybe something like that. And so, I mean, this isn't a fluke. It's not a small sample size. He is pitching really, really well. And he's not really getting lucky. Shohei Ohtani hit the ball hard off him a couple times. But really it's not like he was getting luck on a lot of hard hit balls. He got his share of strikeouts and he kept guys off the bases. One hit, two walks, and that'll play pretty much anywhere. We have to talk about Tony Gonsolin every time he pitches. That's the kind of pitcher he's become. A lot of pitchers, it's like, oh, side note, this person pitched and he did fine. But Tony Gonsolin is basically our lead story on our podcast every time he pitches, because even the good years, I kind of compared him in the past to Ross Stripling's All-Star year and Alex Wood's All-Star year. I don't think either those guys compare to what Stripling's doing right now. Those guys, it was like, oh, this guy has turned into a legitimate, number three starter. He's a really good complement to Kershaw and whoever else. But Gonsolin is, the best pitcher in baseball so far this year. And that's kind of ridiculous to be able to say at this point in the season, over 2 months into the season.
Yeah, and, that first inning looked kind of like the old Gonsolin, a little erratic, but still got the job done. He settled in after that. Saw the staff floating around a couple times, this one from Sarah Langs. Lowest ERA in the first 12 starts of season for the Dodgers since the earned run became official in 1912. 1968, John Drysdale, 1.33. 2019, Ryu, 1.35. 2022, Tony Gonsolin, 1.42. And then you got Koufax, the next three names on that list. So, like I said, not a fluke to this point. He's pitching out of his mind. And I guess the only real concern and something I want to talk about is, him coming out six and a third, less than 100 pitches, less than 90 pitches, if I'm not mistaken, already thrown almost as many innings as he has the last couple years. He topped out back in 2018 at 128 innings, but that's a few years removed now. Is there any concern about him moving forward in terms of innings pitched and getting tired?
I don't think so. I hope not. And I think this move was made for the partially for those reasons. I also think, you know, with the Dodgers having had an off day, and even though it's not like their bullpen has been underworked, but they knew that Kimbrel had to pitch tonight, regardless of the game situation. He's only pitched once in the last, what, 10 days or whatever. And so obviously with the day off yesterday on Monday, the day off coming up on Thursday, they knew they wanted to get Kimbrel in the game. Caleb Ferguson is still working his way back. And so, you know, giving Ferguson that last two outs of the seventh inning and then going to Daniel Hudson and Craig Kimbrel, just, you know, kind of it's a close game, and let's take our close game approach, because, you know, if anything, it's a good practice for the postseason or later in the season, you know. So I think all of the factors came together to say, let's pull Gonsolin right now. I think Gonsolin could have gone seven innings, but, you know, you save a few of those bullets and kind of let him. You don't want to overwork the guy, and you want to be careful not to underwork him, but it was a good, you know, I like that Roberts let him come out and get the first out of the seventh. As much as I hate mid-inning pitching changes, you know, hey, here's your season high in innings pitch for tonight. You've earned that. But I like the way it was managed, and hopefully that kind of thing, where there's going to be games where you can pull him after, you know, what was he at tonight? 80 something pitches. Let's see, Gonsolin, 86 pitches. It's a great spot to pull him there. You know, it's not a short outing by any means, but it's not, you know, you're not overworking. I just watched earlier in the day, Miles Michaelis throw 130 pitches just to not get a no-hitter. And, you know, I like that. Sometimes he'll get pulled in the 80s, and that will have him ready, I think, to when they do need him to go 105 pitches once in a while. But, you know, everything came together to make sense for me. And Gonsolin at his age and experience, I don't think the workload is that big of a concern. I think he's probably going to be okay.
I just think it's more like the type of pitcher he is. He's not a guy that's predicated on throwing 98, 99. Like, he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to, you know, he doesn't rely on a slider or something like that that has a little bit more strain on the arm. He throws a splitter, he throws a curveball, he throws fastball. And I think with that, you know, he's not quite a true sinker ball pitcher type, but he's very similar in just the way he throws. And as we've seen before, like, you know, some of those guys have even said they pitch a little better when they are a little fatigued. So I don't know if Tony Gonsolin fits that profile like to the T, but he definitely fits it a little bit more than, you know, a guy like Walker Buehler, who relies a little more on velocity, or, you know, guys of that nature that rely a little more on velocity and could run out of gas a little bit. I think he'd be fine.
Yeah,
like I said, his body's matured enough. He's a little bit older than some of the other guys.
Yeah, and the stat they showed us kind of suggests he might be one of those guys who does better when he's fatigued, because he gets better each time through the lineup and is significantly, obviously the sample size is smaller the third time through the lineup, but he is significantly better that third time through. So he does get better. You know, the split finger can be real, actually can have a lot of strain on the arm, but it's also a pitch that I don't know that it's the number of them you throw. I think, you know, if your arm's going to go out, it's going to go out at some point. But, you know, he seems to, I don't think workload is going to affect that.
Yeah. One quick note, Walker Buehler before the game said that he had a bone spur removed from his elbow and basically let us know that it was not going to affect his timeline at all. He was going to have to miss those 6 to 8 weeks anyways. And this doesn't really set him back, because he wasn't going to pick up a baseball anyways in those 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe help that, you know, he said it's been bothering him for a while. And so maybe getting that removed and getting the rest for everything, maybe it does let him come back a little bit stronger in September and October.
Yeah. Let's talk about the offense after we talk about Blue Nile, because BlueNile.com has exactly what you need. If you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping. Now, modern convenience of online shopping, that also has jewelry experts that are on hand 24/7. That's what that entails. Available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Sure, you can go to a store and they can help you out and talk about it, but are they available 24/7? I don't think so. BlueNile.com has people available 24/7 to get you the ring of her dreams. To celebrate life's special moment with fine jewelry. And right now, if you go to BlueNile.com, you can make your moment sparkle because Locked On Dodgers listeners can get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement ring, so go now, get it before they go away. Use code LOCKEDON at BlueNile.com. That's code LOCKEDON at BlueNile.com. And remember, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace at BlueNile.com. Starting June 16th, Locked On NBA brings you the ultimate NBA mock draft. Rafael Barlow from Locked On NBA Big Board is joined by every Locked On NBA host and some NBA insiders from Odyssey to deliver picks and analysis. Locked On does mock drafts better than anyone else, and the ultimate NBA mock draft is a perfect example. Go check it out. All right, Jeff, let's save Kimbrel for them. Let's talk about the offense. They only put up two runs. They once again struggled with runners in scoring position, especially with guys at the top of order. But at the end of the day, they worked Noah Syndergaard, who was perfect through the first three innings. They made him throw 40 pitches in that fourth inning. Only were able to get one run, but it ended up being a crucial run. And then Mookie Betts, who looked very bad at the beginning of the game, came through later in the game with a home run that put them up 2-0 and just made you feel a little bit better about the ninth inning with Kimbrel coming in. But yeah, I mean, again, is there any more concern, or is it, you know, continued slump, or what are you seeing out there on the offense?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really give us many reasons for a lot of hope. Mookie Betts' home run was big in the ninth inning, or the bottom of the eighth inning, partly because insurance run, you know, knowing that Kimbrel's coming in to face Trout and Ohtani. A 2-0 lead felt a lot better than 1-0, and it felt even better after Ohtani's double. So, you know, that's still just the tying runs on base. The other reason it's big is because Mookie hit that ball really, really well. He hit that ball hard. He squared up. It had that sound, like a bullet coming off the bat. And, you know, one hit like that, one swing like that can break a guy out of a slump. It's like, oh yeah, I remember what that feels like now, you know? And so we know how good Mookie is and how good he was all of May. He's too good to stay in the slump for long. And so maybe that's a sign of hope there. Will Smith hit the ball really well after him in that same inning. And, you know, that ball was caught, but hit it really well. And so, you know, hopefully those guys at least will continue hitting the ball and break out the slumps a little bit. Other than that, the offense really didn't give us much, except they did make Syndergaard throw 82 pitches in 4 2/3 innings. And that's a big deal. That's what this Dodgers lineup does. And the first game of a series, it is only a 2-game series, so it doesn't help as much if it's a three or four game series. But getting into a team's bullpen early, you know, Freddie Freeman has now seen Jose Quijada, and so maybe that helps tomorrow if he sees him again. Things like that can make a difference. And that's something the Dodgers have always been really good at, is working starting pitchers and getting them out of a game early. And, you know, it's not like it really showed up on the scoreboard today, but it's still kind of an encouraging sign overall.
Yeah. And you know, the frustrating part comes from, you know, loading the bases, not getting that run, you know, Bellinger taking an ill-advised swing on that first pitch after he had just walked in a run. And then, you know, when Taylor gets on with the double that they won by replay review, which we have to go back and look at what their replay review is now since we talked about it, because I know for sure they've won at least two since then. And then, you know, Taylor gets the third. So you got a runner on third, nobody out, with one of your hottest hitters up in Lux, and then Mookie and Freddie. Lux hits the ball hard, just happened to be right at someone that on the infield drawn in. Not necessarily his fault, but then, you know, Mookie and Freddie don't look that great. You're a little bit discouraged, and, you know, you remain discouraged throughout the game, but, you know, Mookie comes through, and with someone like Mookie, who we saw turn it on in May and have that hot May and then just go completely the opposite way in June, you know, even he said after the game on the TBS broadcast how, you know, that's something that could help spark him. It felt good, and you know, that's just, you know, how the game goes, the way his June's going so far. So it's encouraging that they continue to get guys on base, because it would be a lot less encouraging if they weren't getting guys on base and they weren't scoring. You know, I'll take getting guys on base and not scoring, because eventually that'll lead to getting guys on base and scoring when you do get that one big hit that you need. So offensively, you know, it's just going to be a little bit of a struggle probably here and there. But if some guys start picking it up, then I'm not concerned at all.
Yeah. I think it's, they're going to be okay. I'm just looking at replay stuff because you brought that up. Did you know that the Dodgers challenged that play when Chris Taylor came out bloodied at, against the Giants the other day? Apparently, while Taylor was out there bleeding and the trainer was with him, the Dodgers were challenging whether he, because he caught the ball, but it bounced off the wall in between his glove and everything. But apparently the Dodgers challenged that to see if it was a catch, which I'm watching the replay right now. Seems ill-advised. I wonder if they really did challenge it. The MLB replays Twitter account is saying they did, but if we take that one out, since the last time we talked about it, they had the catcher's interference. I said pass interference. Wow. Maybe MLB isn't the only one that stole their replay from the NFL. There was the catcher's interference that didn't get called with Trey Turner, and they replayed and won that one. And then there was this one tonight. And and then the one Chris Taylor's catch that they originally called a base hit, but he caught it. So they are 3-for-4 if they really did challenge that Taylor thing since we last talked about it. So that's good. That's a sign of progress. And Chris Taylor, you know, he is a sign of progress because he, what, this was his third double in the last 2 days. I think all of them leadoff doubles, and all of them he ended up left stranded. So that's not great. But Taylor getting the bat to the ball, this team is too good to continue to struggle as badly as they have the last week or so. And so, you know, Chris Taylor continuing to hit. I don't know. Right now, the person I feel the least confidence in is Cody Bellinger. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what we're going to see from Bellinger, but, seeing him and JT back to back on full counts, JT looking at strike three on a full count and then Belly swinging at ball four on a full count. I was like, okay, well, those two at bats kind of summarize the last week or so for the Dodgers.
Yeah, definitely frustrating. And with all these days off, I don't see it. But, you know, a guy who maybe could use a day off, Freddie Freeman, or maybe a day at DH. He's been struggling lately, but I don't know if they end up giving him that. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely comes down to Bellinger and you know, Justin Turner. One of them's got to turn it around to some extent. You would think it would be Justin Turner who turns it around to a certain extent, but who knows? Bellinger, you know, you really at this point, we're really only asking for, like, 50-60% of what he was in 2019, even 2017, you know, just hit a home run every few games and continue that defense out there. So it's going to be we're 61 games in, there's still 101 games left. So a lot can change here in the next wave. But I do think for the remaining 101 games on the offensive side, we're going to see a lot more better days than we do, you know, bad days.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking about for all the hoopla when Dave Roberts, went out to the batting cage with his left-handed hitters and worked on bunting with them. You know, Max Muncy bunted for a hit that very day. I don't think we've seen another attempt from any of them. And it makes me wonder, is Bellinger not comfortable with it? Did he not feel like he could do it? Because if anybody should be bunting for a hit with Bellinger's speed and the way they shift him, like, Bellinger should have an 18-game hitting streak with 18 bunt singles at this point, you know? Like, so I don't know if he needs more practice or if he, I don't know why he's not doing that. But I hope that maybe that'll be one of the things with Dave Roberts talking about the team doing the little things to win. Cody Bellinger getting on base once in a while would definitely help them win. And you know, I'm being too mean to Bellinger. Bellinger actually had the biggest hit for the Dodgers on Saturday's game when they almost won against the Giants. He had that big run scoring double. It's not like he's totally useless out there. But it's when he does hit one, it's a surprise at this point.
Yeah. One thing that was surprising, at least for a certain extent, Craig Kimbrough not allowing a run. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that ninth inning. First, let's get into Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens, something I started using. I've told you guys before, just to, you know, help out with a crazy schedule that I have sometimes. Give me a little bit of energy. Give me that boost in the morning. And what is Athletic Greens? Well, it's a scoop of powder that you put into water, that you put into a shake, that you put into I guess you can put it into your coffee in the morning, and you're getting 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Take it before you eat. Take it first thing in the morning and start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all those things. You don't have to buy a bunch of pills, a bunch of multivitamins, all that kind of stuff. All you got to do is take one scoop of AG1 Athletic Greens. It's a small micro habit with big benefits, something you can do every day to help yourself. Nothing really extra added to. It's just, like I said, one scoop in whatever drink you take in the morning. And a subscription that you get will come with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is important to add later on in the winter when you don't get as much sunlight. So what can you get right now at Athletic Greens? Well, you can get a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/MLB network. That's athleticgreens.com/MLB network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. After you do that, you can get over to betonline.net, and because they're your number one source for all your betting sports and betting stats and sports info, all the latest sports developments, all the latest news, all the latest odds, whatever you're looking for, betonline.net has you covered. You can find all the Locked On podcasts there as well. Make it easy on yourself. Head to betonline.net. You can find more info about the basketball championships going on, NHL Stanley Cup finals coming on, MLB going on every day, and all the latest fighting news from MMA to boxing to UFC. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. So head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn all about the trends, learn all about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, final topic. Craig Kimbrell, a topic that we've talked about multiple times so far. Despite the bases getting loaded in the ninth inning, despite maybe people, you know, the feeling of not being comfortable in that ninth inning, a lot did go on, not to make excuses. A lot happened, which we'll talk about right now. But I felt very encouraged by his outing last night because the stuff looked really good. His command looked really good. And, you know, I think it was just the nature of that inning being a little bit weird. When it came down to it, he got 2 strikeouts with the bases loaded and one out and won the Dodgers again.
Yeah, he struck out 3 batters in the inning. You know, gives up a little bloop single to Mike Trout, shattered his bat so badly that the umpire was left bleeding, and still came within inches of being an out. You know, you can make a case that Gavin Lux maybe should have caught that ball. You know, it probably should have been caught. As it is, it's a bloop single, no real harm done, and then a 9-minute delay. And 9-minute delays for closers, you know, closers are one inning pitchers, and 9 minutes is basically a full up down. It's the other team, you know, your team batting, and then you coming back out to the mound. And I don't know if he took warm up pitches. If so, I don't know how many. It seemed like maybe he was trying to ambush Ohtani, and you know, they mentioned taking advantage of Ohtani's aggressiveness, starting him off with an off speed pitch. You know, it was a decent pitch he threw to Ohtani. Probably wanted a little bit lower to get Ohtani to chase, but Ohtani was on it and hit a double. And you know, and then. But really, other than 2 pitches to Mike Trout, like you said, his command was really good. He was throwing the ball basically where he wanted to. There were some really good takes by several guys that, you know, whoever it was it Matt Duffy who walked? Yeah. You know, 2 really good takes, 2 pitches that were very close to being strike 3. And I think 85% of the time, Kimbrel's going to get swings on those pitches, if not getting the called strike. And so his command was there, and when he really needed it, he bore down and he got those big strikeouts. You could tell he was pumped up. And so, yeah, even though you look at the box score and you're like, oh, Kimbrel allowed 3 more base runners in his 1 inning of work, more of the same. But this was a different kind of more of the same. And I, like you said, I came away feeling a lot more optimistic than I have with some of his other outings.
Yeah, touched 99 at one point. You know, he's been upper 90s most of the season, but that's just that extra oomph. And yeah, Matt Duffy, I don't know if those were takes because he knew they were balls or he was, you know, he just got lucky because some of those takes were right there. And, you know, now looking back at it, I don't remember how the first umpire was calling, you know, if he was giving those corners all night. You know, maybe that's something Kimbrel thought about going in there. You get a new umpire, You know, if it had been robot arms, then those would have been balls anyways because they were outside the zone, so it doesn't matter with that. But when you do have the human element, you know, some umpires call pitches different and some umpires call corners different, and, you know, that could have been part of it. But, yeah, I mean, he was – at no point was he, you know, looking like he had before where he didn't know where the pitches were going. He was pulling out a little bit or pulling off to the side and swinging his arm across, and the pitches were going, you know, far into to a left-handed batter, far out to a right-handed batter. He looked locked in. He looked good. And, yeah, other than the broken bat, which I, you know, should have been caught, and then Ohtani's – it's one of those mind games where Ohtani's maybe thinking, okay, he knows I swing first pitch. Maybe he's going to try that off speed. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. And it's just, you know, one of those mind games. Ohtani's one of the best hitters in baseball. You just got to chalk it up to that sometimes. But I liked what I saw. He looked really good. He looked pumped up. You know, I know it's not – probably hasn't been the most fun season for him so far. Dodger fans haven't turned on him yet, so at least he doesn't have that in his back pocket. You have another, you know, sense of motivation. But – I was fine, and I liked what I saw. Like I said, when it came down to it, he got the two biggest outs of the game with his back against the wall.
Yeah, and maybe most importantly, you have to think he liked what he saw, you know, because his command was good. He knows that the command is really the issue. When he has command, he's almost unhittable. And so the command was really good, and so you have to imagine that his confidence going into his next outing. And, you know, he's had such a weird season where he didn't get to pitch much because the Dodgers scoring too many runs. And then he have him pitch him more, and then he goes on paternity leave. And so if he can get consistent, because, you know, I have it on good authority that his wife will not be having another baby anytime soon. And you know, the Dodgers probably aren't going to be scoring too many runs for him to get a save opportunity anytime soon. So if he can start pitching, you know, 3-4 times a week, that will hopefully get him into that groove. And he's a guy who, it wouldn't surprise me at all to for him to reel off a stretch of, you know, 10 straight perfect outings, or, you know, kind of a dominant stretch, whatever it is, because he's definitely got the stuff. And so my hope is that what we saw tonight was the start of something like that.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what it is. Real quick, let's touch on Caleb Ferguson, who came in a big spot, like you mentioned earlier, coming in to get the final two outs of that seventh inning. Somebody who, you know, he came up or coming off Tommy John. You weren't sure exactly what you're going to get. He came up, struggled a little bit in the minors, came up to the majors, had a couple of small outings and not big situations, back down to the minors, back up. And, you know, based on getting the outs he's gotten and the way he's pitched, looking not quite like he did in 2020 yet, but on the way to being a high leverage reliever again for the Dodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. He looked good. You know, got two outs and seven pitches. We haven't really seen the big strikeout stuff from him yet since he came back, but, you know, his velocity, he topped out at 95.2. I mean, basically he was everything, all six fastballs that he threw were between 94.1 and 95.2, right in that range, which is maybe still a tick slower than he was throwing in 2020 at his peak. But, you know, he looks pretty good. And you know, he's a guy who there's no one guy you could say the Dodgers need this guy to be at his best, but he's a guy who, if he is at his best, he makes that bullpen a lot better, because, you know, if Kimbrel is being effective, Daniel Hudson looked really good. If you got Ferguson and you've got Yency Almonte and you've got a lot of these guys who are really, really have potential to throw the ball really well, you know, that's what you need. And then, you know, we talked about Dustin May coming back. He could really step up there. You know, there's potential for a really good bullpen, and Caleb Ferguson getting back to his 2020 self would be a big step in that direction.
Yeah, because, I mean, that can push Vesia to the other, second left-hander, and now he's coming in key situations like 6th, 7th if you need him. And, it, you know, it's just one of those where one guy makes everyone else stronger. And if you do happen to get the miracle of Trinan and Canely coming back, or at least one of them coming back, you know, just – overall fortifies that bullpen. So
yeah, good, absolutely. Good stuff.
Yeah. That's all we had on tap. Jeff, you got anything else you want to add?
No, it's nice to have a win. You know, I guess you could say, especially against the Angels. I don't care about the Angels particularly, but I know a lot of Dodger fans do have issues with the Angels or Angels fans or whatever. And so, you know, there's some teams that it's less fun to lose to. And I think the main teams on that list are the Giants, the Padres, and the Angels, as far as teams that you really don't want to lose to. And so after getting swept by the Giants, it's nice to start this series with the Angels with a win.
Yeah, crowd was electric. Taco Tuesday, no giveaway. So that was just a high-powered crowd from Angels, Dodgers. I saw that there was a good amount of Angel fans there. So that's good for them that they've come back out of their holes and you know, came over to watch, came over to Los Angeles to watch a game.
Yeah. So, oh, there's a team that actually plays in Los Angeles. Oh, yeah. I wasn't aware.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out the Locked On MLB podcast with Paul Francis Sullivan. He brings his humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and for the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB. If you want to find us, you can find us Locked On Dodgers wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts to get a hold of us. No game Thursday, so we will be doing mailbag more than likely. So if you have questions, make sure to get them in now. You don't have to wait till we ask for it. Other ways you can get a hold of us, our email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and voicemail text 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. To your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.